wear there. You have your tie hanging on your side. You can put it in your pocket and you can fix it. Is this towards the end? Is this towards the end of the? Is it the end of the slide? No, go all the way to the end because I keep adding. At the end, I'm gonna have like a mega slide. Oops. Okay. All right, good morning. How are you today? I am all excited to be here. Like I said, I'm not excited just because I'm here to speak. I have nothing to say. But I'm always excited when God gives me an opportunity to just glorify him, say something about him. You know, I could have been out there worshiping Mammon, but he gave me the opportunity to worship him. So that gave me just a joy at all time, believe me. So let us... Like I said, you know, I read the Bible, and I always say that we are no different from the people in the biblical time. Just put yourself, we are no different. And the Bible, each time they come to the house of the Lord, before they go to war, they put the singers first. And always that a song is like something that bridges you into what you are. So let's get up and sing just one chorus, Because He Lives. Because He Lives. I can face tomorrow because He lives. All fear is gone because I know, yes, I know. He holds the future. My life is worth the living just because He lives. And you know the reason why I do that? When you come before God, like I say, you and I, we are nothing. He doesn't really need us. It's His grace for us to stand and talk about Him. He said, if you keep your mouth shut, rocks will cry out. So when we come before Him, before we say anything, we should give Him His rightful title. We should tell Him. Before I say anything, I have to let Him know, God, I can say what I'm saying today because You live. So when we sing this song, we are here today. Because He lives, that already glorified God. That is like we are warming up the hearts of God. It's like you come to somebody, you're about to present some requests. You warm that person's heart first, right? Amen. Amen. So let us pray. Dear precious Lord Jesus, Father, as the song said, we are here this morning, we are nobodies. But we know, Lord God, that because You died for us, it would make us somebody. Lord, we are living in Your righteousness. And Father, we are living in Your favor. We are living by Your grace and love and mercy. Without that, we are nothing. So God, we acknowledge that this morning. We are not that verified this morning. And that by itself, oh God, make us very happy, make us very excited to worship You, make us very glad, give us a joyful heart to thank You, to praise Your name, to say, oh God, You alone is God. So, Father, we thank You this morning, and we pray that may You help us and open our hearts. Bless our service this morning. We pray us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so you may be seated, but before I go, I have to quickly make an announcement. In fact, it fits perfectly into what we'll be teaching. I told you last time in Exodus 17, they have to fight first element. and then they have to fight wars. So we have to fight some element this morning. The AC is not working. There are the technicians, you know, they are trying to fix it throughout the day. So it's going to be a little bit hard. We have to, like I said, we are in Rephidim, right? We are in a place of rest. But it's not really a place of rest. We're going to fight, all right? We're going to fight against the element, and we're going to fight war with Satan with the sword. We tell him, Satan, if you come by the element, we are ready. If you come by the sword, we are ready. You remember last week we spoke about that when they go to Rephidim, they have to fight two wars. So I want God, I think God is saying, okay, we'll see if we can fight that war against the element. So the heat is here. We will, don't worry, we will overcome. Amen. Amen. So I would try to maybe finish this here, Jehovah Nissi. But Jehovah Nissi that we started, if I really, really have to preach, if we really have to talk about Jehovah Nissi, it will also take us almost the whole Bible. Because remember, as we said, can you go back a little bit to the Hebrew part? Okay, so it's in Exodus 17, verse 15. And if you remember, we said that we read Exodus 17, and the first time we tried to start, we couldn't really preach it because George Martin, that same day, was coming to preach on number 17. That 17 was a changing of system. And we said that, if you remember, I won't ask a lot of questions today because I want to go fast to finish this. Exodus 17 for the Jew was also a changing of system. And God, like Brother George Martin was praying, God placed certain things a certain way. 17 is a change of system. So Exodus 14, God delivered the redemption by power. God drowned the Egyptian, did everything and showed them what he can do. Exodus 15, also redemption, complete redemption. They came to a place they couldn't get water to drink. God showed Moses a tree, put that in, the water becomes sweet. They drank it. Complete redemption, redemption by power and by blood. And yet, just as human being, we always like to murmur because we always like to see when it happened. We see it, we praise God, but we like to murmur. But as I said also, and if you remember that same, I think, one of the services, Brother George Martin preached on Wednesday, he said Israel parallel the bride. Okay? Israel parallel the bride. So the reason why Exodus 17 was such, the book of Exodus was such an important, is a foundational, okay, it's foundation for the church. Okay? When they were in Israel, there, they multiply after Jacob went, they multiply and all that, there were just people living. And when Moses, God sent Moses, they became a people, a church. They became a nation. And God, by power, delivered them. And each time, God will say, I will do this so you know that I am the Lord thy God. And as I told you, God will do certain things. And I say, God is not just a father who will come and say, okay, I'm a father and just speak. God is a God of action. And if you read the Hebrew language, if you know anything about the Hebrew language is not many words spoken. If you read it sometimes, say, whatever, this doesn't make any grammatical sense, but it just is a language of action. God doing something. And when God will do it, God will say, and you shall know that I am the Lord thy God. Amen. Does he have to say, does he have to keep repeating that? But what God wants you to know is that God is a God who, like I said, identify himself through his characteristics. He's not somebody who just say things, but he will do it and you see it. Why? Because he wants to build your faith in him. Okay? So here, now, okay, I won't have, because we don't have time, we won't have 5 minutes, if we can take time and read the Bible. But one homework I'll give you, okay, and this one, when you have time, read the book of Exodus. And if you cannot read the whole book of Exodus, read 14, 15, 16, 17, maybe all the way to 23. Because like I said, And actually, Paul said that in the New Testament. I don't know, I can't remember exactly. But he said all those things that were done in the desert, many people died, couldn't make it. But all those were done as ensample for us. So everything that the Bible was there, if Israel parallel the church, that means we have to look carefully what happened to Israel is what the bride we have to manifest. Okay? But with the grace of God, because Jesus has come and died, okay, and we don't have our righteousness, but we are living through his righteousness. Amen? Amen? Now, the other thing that I would like to also share with you, when you read the Bible, don't read as you're reading a story. What happened to us and happened to me too. Many times we read the Bible and we read it as a book of story, a story that was written, and we are reading about that story, what happened. No. When you read your Bible, it's like when you go out and buy a new furniture and you have to install it. There's an instruction manual, right? They say, open the box. Be careful. Don't use a sharp knife. If you use a sharp knife, you may scratch it, right? Open the box. Step one. Step two, take things out, right? Lay this one here. Lay that one there. Count and see that you have all the different pieces, right? You are following. That's not just a story told you to read. Right. You know, if you don't follow that, you can put that together. When you're reading the Bible, do the same. It's an instruction that God is giving you. If you don't follow those instructions, like if you do not follow the instruction of whatever you bought, a bookshelf or whatever it is, one time I tried getting one, and I said, you know I can do it. I realized by the time I'm done, something was fixed upside down. And I have already put all nails. And I have to go out, oh my goodness, and remove. Sometimes I say, you know, forget it, just leave it like that, you see. By not following instruction, by thinking I know it. All right? By thinking that I know it, and I realize, what I mean, this is upside down. Because I was going there by my own understanding, this is the way it's supposed to be. The people who built it, they built it for a reason, and they give you the instruction. So the same thing, you see, when Brother Brown went to the woods, he said, I'm a woodsman. I've been hunting. I can't. But God said, no. In this journey here, you are going to learn to depend entirely on me. And that's why he said what? Lean not on what? Lean not on your own understanding. So it's the same thing when we read the Bible. Lean not on your own understanding. When you're reading there, you say, oh, God, reveal it to me. This is me. Each time you see that you possess me. This is not a story. And if you read, we are in Rephidim. And we saw last time what Rephidim mean. Rephidim mean rest, right? So we've already read the scripture. That's why I'm not reading the scripture again. But in Exodus 17, we saw that. And Moses built, if you've done your homework, you read everything, so again, I don't have to go through it all. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Adonai Nissi. And I told them what? Each time they see the tetragrammaton, the word, the name of God, since they cannot pronounce it, they pronounce the word Adonai. Adonai is not written. It's the name of God that they don't know. But for them, when they read in the temple, they say Adonai, Nisi. All right, let's go to the next. Okay, Jehovah Nisi, we couldn't show this last time. That's why I'll quickly show it. So the word Ness, okay, the word Ness of Father, it means miracle, a sign, a standard, a banner, and ensign, a flag. And I've already shown you already each time at the Hebrew word, most of them hear the E at the end, like Li to me, Nisi, my, Eli, El, God, Eli, my God. Okay, when you hear the I, something that's me, it means you. So you see, so Nes means a sign. When you go to Nisi, you construct it as a Nisi, it means. spill, right? We are going to fight the battle, but we will win. Okay, it's working now, right? We're in Rephidim. So, all right, so like I said, when you're reading the Bible, don't read that just the story that was told you, but read it like you remember I told you, like the dose instruction. If you do not follow the instruction, you wind up putting things upside down. Like it happened to me a couple of times. And I have to leave furniture put up upside down by not following instruction, thinking that I know. I say, oh, I'm an engineer. I put things together. I can do it. No. With God, do not lean on your own understanding. And God showed that to a prophet also in the woods. One time, some woodsman, a hunter, he got lost miserably. Almost lost his family. Amen? So, Nisi means my banner, my miracle, my shield, everything. And Rephidim, like I say, is a place of rest. So, Exodus 14, God saved them by power and said, and you know what God told Moses? Be still and see that I am your salvation. Amen? So you tell yourself, if that's the case, then for the rest of the journey, God is going to do it that way. Because every time God will say that so that you see that I'm the Lord thy God. And then Exodus 15, the murmuring that came to Mara, no water, they couldn't drink. God showed Moses, put a tree center, he cut the branch, put it, the water became sweet. Okay? And they drank. But still, they keep murmuring. And if you know, like I said, go read Exodus, I don't know which chapter. God, who have chosen to take them to a certain way, but God said, I'll take them through this way, through this desert, unless they repent and go back to Egypt. So sometimes, like I said, all those applications, when you read that, even that verse, you pause. How does it apply to me? You see, sometimes God calls you, but God wants to take you through a certain way. That may be a hard way to teach you, to build, for you to give you character. Because it said that, Brother Bram told us, if you got a power without a character, that's satanic. Amen? That's satanic. So God wants to make sure that he build that character in you. You see, God wanted to prove to Satan, I'm the Lord thy God. You see, when during a temptation, when Satan came, he said, you shall worship the Lord that God and him alone. And they said, what, Satan flee? He flee for a season. Is that right? But God said, the work that I do, ye shall do also. And Brother Bram told us, all that God was, he pointed to Christ. And all that Christ was, he pointed went to church. So how? If that's the case, all right, if you agree with that, Brother Bram said that, then how is God going to prove to the devil, I'm the Lord thy God? He will prove it where? Through you and I. We don't look at it. You see, you look at yourself and say, me? A sinner? How? But remember that God chose you for that purpose. And when he died on the cross, he paid for the price of your sin and all that. So you can stand before the devil and tell him, I am the Lord thy God. And that's what he told them. Whatever you bind on earth is bind in heaven, and whatever you loose is loose. Amen? It's that power, but you cannot reach that power. And last Wednesday I was preaching, forgiveness is one of the biggest part of it if you cannot preach that power. And if you remember the story I read to you, Brother Bram said that even things that he begins to see unconsciously, he's not thinking about happen. So that means if you get that power, and let's say you're in a train, someone will step on your toe, and consciously you said something. It happened to him. I read that quote, Brother Bram said, and consciously. You may not thinking, but that's why you need to reach that point where you are totally yielded to God. Where you get to the point like Christ, where I do nothing until my Father shows me first. You become a prisoner of love unto Christ. Amen? But to get that, God has to take you to the way of the wilderness to try you. God would have taken them by another way. They would have raised the promise like a long time ago. He's God. He knew the end before the beginning. But why did he do that? And that's where it all started here in Rephidim. God brought them,
Show them, and in Genesis, I think in 15 or 16, Exodus 15, I'm sorry, not Genesis, 15 or 16, you will see that Moses, he took the and the song. He sung, "Who is like unto thee, me kamoha? Who is like unto thee, O God?" They sang all those songs, "Me kamoha," by Elim Adonai. "Who is like unto thee among the gods? Fearful in praise." They sang all those songs. Miriam, they took the tambourine and sang songs of joy. You see that redemption. So you think that from there on, everything should be great. Because here they are, God has taken them out of bondage, took them to the Red Sea. Here they are, they are now a strong people. And God says, "Stand still to know I'm the Lord your God." So from there on, you say, well, wow, everything is going to go. And then God even brought them to a place called Rephidim. Rephidim means rest or stays or resting places. So you say, well, that's it. Now I'm in Rephidim. God saved me from my sins. I went to the altar. I gave my heart to Christ. I felt the peace came in. I told him all my sins. I know now that his blood covers everything that I've done. Rest, I can go and rest. No. God said that's just the beginning of the fight. Amen. So when I got to the Rephidim, we find out that in the rest of place and the resting place, really the resting place of war. All right. The first war was against the element, and then the tenth was the sword. As a nation, they've never fought before. That's their first war. That's why it's called the changing of system for them. They've never fought a war before. That's their first time. So you say, wait a minute. How come God told them, cross them the Red Sea, redemption by the power of God? God told them, "I'll be the Lord, I'll be your God." But how come now they're here, they're going to fight, and Moses is telling Joshua, "Choose me, go down there, and I'll be up there." Each time Moses raises his hand, they win. When Moses' hand goes down, they lose. Wait a minute. What is this? What is the type of redemption? I thought God did it in the rest. You didn't do anything about it. I thought God did all that. I thought God brought out a flea. All what Moses did just stretched forth his rod. And all this came. How come we have to do something about it now? And each time Moses raised his hand, all right? Each time Moses raised his hand, they win. Each time Moses' hand goes down, they lose the war. So, as God begin to set them as a nation, now God begin to teach them. Now you have to depend on me. Because one thing that we all of us here, we inherited from our parent, our first parent, Adam and Eve, and through the knowledge, the tree of knowledge side of us was knowledge, human ability, what we can do. So every time God take a man, want to do something with him, the tree of knowledge side, whether you want it or not, quickly want to take over. And that's the reason why it's so important that when you become a Christian, that you pray for God to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Because whether you want it or not, okay, this is what is called the law of contrast. Brother Bram talked a lot about it. I won't have time today to read quote because I want to get some. I'm trying to finish. The law of contrast. When you want to do good, evil is present. Look, in the Garden of Eden, you have the tree of knowledge and the tree of life. They were there. The two were there. Inside Rebecca, amen, Rebecca brought to Isaac, God divinely brought Rebecca to Isaac, through whom the promise had to be accomplished. Yet inside her womb were two nations fighting each other. One will glorify God, one will glorify the devil. Amen? So, each time, all right? And Brother Bram told us, within the framework of the church, we'll be two spirits. There'll be twins. And Jesus told us that it will even deceive the very elected if it were possible. So, there is this part of us, the reason why I'm taking some time here, maybe we may not finish it. This here is a foundational for Christians. But many times we read it, we go over it. And like I told you, if you go by construction site, all right, I'm repeating myself, this is very important. It takes a long time. You'll be going back, you'll even be saying, wait a minute, because the inconvenience of you going to the tours, you never see anything happen. You say, wait a minute, they're taking this long time to build. I don't see nothing happening. These people, they're sleeping. No, they're not. Because in engineering, the foundation is important. And we know that the greatest civil engineer that ever existed, Jesus Christ. What did he tell us? You cannot build your house on a sand, on a sinking sand. You have to build your house, what? On a rock. Amen? So that's where you see we can take months and months and months and making sure that the foundation is built where the road don't going to sink. Nobody's going to be driving there in a car, the sinkhole or anything like that. When we build a house, we have to make sure that we go and reach what we call the firm. That if we can reach the bedrock, that's the best. We just build on the bedrock. If we can, we have to do everything until we do all the calculations to know that we reach a certain layer of soil that nothing's going to happen. But once the foundation is done, you come by the next time the road is open, right? We go fast. So it's the same thing. You have to read as a Christian. When you come to Christ, you have to spend a good amount of time on building your Christian foundation. Don't just rush. I'm a Christian. I'm going to do this. I can do this. I can go out there. I can begin to testify. I'm this. Oh, God have saved me. No. You do that, the devil will knock you off of your foundation. Amen? Because you're building on sinking sand. And also God to help us refer us to the parable of the sower. The one that survived, the one that went into good ground. Some were superficial, some got caught in thorns. Amen? So God wants to make sure that you have a foundation. So here, God begin. Let's go to the next, see what I have on that. All right, that's some quote of Brother Branham. I put this by Jehovah Nissi. But for God to show them this nation that I'm taking, I need to teach them to trust me that the side of the tree of knowledge dies. God has to take us through process. And that, like I said, when you read, it applies to you too. When you go down to the altar, you give your life to Christ, you repent, the peace come in. Sometimes you feel like, whoa. You see, Jesus, when he went to the Jordan, got baptized, what the Bible says? He went to the wilderness for what? 40 days, what? To be tried. Jesus was God. He didn't need to do that. But he did that to be written for you and I. Amen? For you and I, that today, when we come to Christ, got baptized, we say, oh God, now I'm going to the wilderness. Now remember everything that Jesus did in the wilderness. When the devil comes, what does he say? It is written. Now, Jesus was God in the flesh. He doesn't need to do that. He can tell the devil, he can give him command, and the devil will vanish. But he will go by, it is written. Now, he was God. He could have just said the word right there. But you see what he was trying to teach you, it again bring you to Rephidim. Now, take that, like I'm saying, is that when you read the Bible, maybe you may not make a connection. With Moses' hand going up, he's winning. They're winning. When a hand goes down, they lose. One time, in our reading, Brother Branham wants to challenge the devil. And he said, I want everyone here bring. And the angel told him, don't do that. And after he went ahead, one time he wanted to challenge, and they brought many people. He was praying, but you see, God will still honor him. Just like Moses, God told him, don't strike it twice. He did or disobeyed, but still God will honor the words of the prophet. And I'm reading this story here, Brother Branham, the angel told him, don't do that. And the angel even referred to him. When the devil came to your Lord, remember, he always said, it is written. And he didn't go out there challenging, right? Like also there's scripture in the Bible that say, if you take up serpent, they shall not harm you. If you drink poison, right? People will go there and take poison and put in water and say, look here, God. No, you will die. Because God never tells you that. You go out there and handle, rattlesnake, it will bite you. At Penn State, there is a video back in the 90s when I was at Penn State, I was in the library, I do a research, I came through across this video, see the Holy Ghost people. I said, wow, Penn State? The library, I quickly borrowed, and I don't think there's anything anybody borrows. So I quickly borrowed it, and I went to see what Penn State had to say about the Holy Ghost people. And it happened that it was the snake handlers out in the mountains of West Virginia. So everybody going to church, they have a little box under their bed they have to take. Just like you and I, when we go to church, we take this Bible. They have to take that box. Curious what in that box is a rattlesnake. So for them, the way to prove that you have the Holy Ghost is to handle that rattlesnake. Now, some were handling it when the music was going and all that. But you see, I was watching. I said, no, I don't want to judge. All right? God, that's between them and God. But I'm just reading that the Bible never told me to do that. The Bible says, if I step on a snake and knowingly. When we pray, when we eat, when we're eating, we pray. If anything that are food, we don't know, God will sanctify it and bless to our body. I'm not going to put sulfuric acid and say, all of you, look here, I'm a Christian. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm spreading sulfur, I will die. Amen? So they were handling the snake, throwing the snake. They were throwing the snake. I was just watching. I said, what is this? All right? And what happened to the snake? At the end of the thing, there was no music. One of their leaders took that rattlesnake. And what happened to him? You need me? Well, I was talking about foundation, so Brother Fidel, quickly after he heard it, he said something has just happened in Nigeria of a house that just collapsed because there was no foundation. All right? That big house was just happened because he heard me talk about the foundation. All right? Thank you, Brother Fidel. I appreciate it. Thank you. Anyway, so quickly, let's move on. So our snake handlers, right? So this is very important because in the Christian life, many times, the people we are, Christian can be quickly disillusioned. We can live in illusion. Sometimes we can live in, I keep mentioning this yesterday, I think my kids were telling what happened to daddy. Christian many times can live in wonderland, all right? Wonderland. I was telling yesterday that this is where I was coming from. Christians, many of them can live in wonderland without looking at the reality. Amen? Because they don't really know how God works. You see, from the Garden of Eden, one part that we inherited, all of us were inherited, and that's why Brother Bram talked about the law of contrast, go into the message and search law of contrast. Brother Bram explained that a lot. And Paul also talked about it. When I want to do good, evil is present. So because we took that tree of knowledge, that spirit of tree of knowledge spilled onto us. Okay? And the minute God wants to do something, that tree of knowledge wants to quickly kick in. So you see, when God will anoint a man, we give him a gift. But the first thing you know, the eye part. Okay, so in snake handling, God gave us a gift if this happened, but the true knowledge start quickly kicking. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I. Remember, the true knowledge is always the I, not him. But you see, Jesus was trying to teach us, I do nothing until what? I see the fathers do. he become a prisoner of love, right? But every time earth, when that tree of knowledge is taken over, the first thing that happened to you is, I can do this. Wow. God allow you, when you lay your hand on a brother or sister, it is not you that healed a brother, but it's the faith of that brother touching God, and you, God is using you as a channel of communication to channel that faith. That brother is healed. Right? Yes. Brother Bram told us, gift and call without repentance. But that's him. You see, Brother Bram will stand there, even though God gave him the gift, Brother Bram will stand there, you tell you know what I'm waiting for. Even though Brother Branham has a gift, if the power that operate that gift, all right, if the power that operate that gift, Brother Branham says, I only know the dynamic of it, how it works. But the mechanic, if that power that operate a gift does not come, Brother Branham powerless. That's how you say that. He can stay there and say, friend, you know what I'm waiting for. And then when the angels come, he said that. Then when he comes, then he say, I take the audience under my, for what? For the glory of God. Amen? So this is very foundational, Genesis 17. It's a great foundation to trust in God in everything. When you come to God, he save you, fill the Holy Ghost. The next thing is to die the death of a corn of wheat. All right? Jesus, after he went to, I think you can turn this off now. Jesus, after he got baptized, he went into the desert to be tried for how long? For 40 days. And everything that Jesus did was written for you and I. It is written. It is written. Why? It's just like Moses raises up his hand. When you raise up your hand, you win. When your hands go down and you can pray, they lose. When the hands go down, that they're fighting on their own, they lose. Amalek wins. You see, wait a minute. God who just did that for them, take that to the Red Sea. Why would he necessarily need the hands of Moses? He didn't need the hand of Moses. He just did that. It's a big steal, right? But remember, it's a foundation God is building in you that we must trust him. When God tells you something, consider it is done. And when God begins to work in your life, that's the time to die to yourself. When God comes in your life, begin to move. When you became Christian, you went to the altar, the Holy Spirit came to your life, you feel this anointing on you, you feel God, that's the time you die. That's the time you love your neighbor as yourself. That's the time you take your cross and follow him. That's the time your hand had to be up. Now, in your life today, if you remember we read last time, he said to Moses, write this and rehearse it, who? Into the ears of Joshua. Why? Because Joshua was down there in the valley fighting against Amalek. And they'll be losing. I'm sure Joshua will wonder, but why do I begin to lose? Because you know Joshua knew that God is with him. And remember, that's their first fight ever they did as a nation. But all of a sudden, win, I'm sure in the mind of Joshua, what's going on here? We're winning, we're losing. We're winning, we're losing. Isn't God with us? So, but God told Moses, write all these things. Joshua was not there. It was Aaron and Hur who was holding the hand of Moses up. Write it, rehearse it. Let Joshua, the warrior, all right, knows this, that when the time will come that he's going to take the children of Israel to cross the Jordan. Remember, Joshua, you're a great fighter. One time you saw the angel, he pulled out his sword. Are you against us? And the angel told him, put your shield back. I'm the captain of the host. He knows that Joshua is a man of war. But yes, you're a man of war. You are a Christian of faith. You are a Christian, you can pray, you can say, me, I believe in God. I pay my tithes, I'm ready, to die for God. I can do everything for him. I'm ready, but remember, you are a man of war, but you can only win if I'm with you. Yeah. Amen? So that's why God told Moses, write it, rehearse it in Joshua's ear. He's a fighter, but he has to know that at all time, I'll be with him. And that's the reason why when you're fighting and beginning to lose, because a general has stolen a garment, he says, let's stop the war. That's not what there's something God's done with us. Because he knows that we cannot win the war by ourselves. Something has happened. But if Joshua didn't know that, he will think that because we are a chosen people of God, God is with us, we can win every war. They can just keep fighting, and Israel will be dying. But in reality, wait a minute. In Rephidim, God told Moses this, and he wrote it. I know when Moses' hand was up, we're winning. When Moses' hand was down, we're losing. Why? Maybe Moses' hands are down now. Something happened. Stop the war. Now, what happened here? I did confession. Then it happened. And the confession came out, and they begin to win the war again. You see what happened at the foundation? If Joshua didn't know, they keep fighting the war because they know that we are chosen people. So quickly, I'll continue this next time. Quickly, now let's bring, like I say, if you read it, see how it applies to you. Bring it here. Yes, you are the bride. God chose you. God sent a prophet to tell you, you are the bride. You will judge the world. Yes, we are the bride. We can do everything. Brother Abraham gave us the promises. Brother, I need rain. I give you rain. But there are conditions. Yes, we are saved conditionally, but there are certain specifications. Like I said, when you take that instruction book, you're putting the thing together, there are specifications. God did do it this way, do it this way, do it this way, this way. There are specs, specifications that God has given you. Amen? So, if I were smart, then when I'm putting the things up, I have to consult to know I'm not putting a shelf wrong. So when you're doing something, things begin to go, you say, is Moses' hand down? What's going on in my life? Let me check my life. Oh, God. Yes, we are a chosen people. God chose us to manifest his name. Yes, you are the bride. But that doesn't mean that you have to be checking. Remember, the law of contrast is all present. That's a part of the tree of knowledge that you and I, unfortunately, we inherited. And remember, the part of the tree of knowledge always want to take over. Paul said that. And that's the reason why we have to make sure that our hands are up. We have problems that our hands are up all the time. Now, remember, Moses' hand got heavy. Sometimes, yes, you're praying, you can't do it alone. The burden you carry is too heavy. The things that you're doing is too heavy for you. You call other brethren. You go to the pastor. You go to the church. Pray for me. That's, you see, God gave all those. Moses' hand had to be held down by Aaron, by her. See, why God did all that? So in your lives, when you're fighting Amalek today, the war of Amalek, you say, brother, I need you help me. Sister, I need you help me. Pastor, this happened to me. Can the church pray? That's the church, your brothers and sisters, they're holding up your hand. And that's when you can go and win. Let us pray. We'll continue this next time. You see, this is too important for me to just go over like that. Amen? Let us pray. Dear precious Lord Jesus, Father, we know that you are our God, our Savior, our Master, our Redeemer, our Maker. Oh, Lord God, help us. Father, we know that it's hard. We are fighting the element. But, Lord, we've seen that happen already in Rephidim. But, God, we know that you're standing with us here today. Help us to not murmur. We've seen your hands. We've seen what you did to Brother Branham. We've seen what you did to the Bible. We've seen what you've done in our life. We see present in what you've done in this church. So we know that you are with us. Help us, oh God, to not murmur. how hard it gets, how we know that Father is part of the fight. But Father, we are conquerors through Christ Jesus who died for us. So Father, help us all to bear this heat. Help us all. Let us tell the devil, devil, this may not work, but Lord, we love our Lord Jesus. We will praise him. We will thank him. We will adore him. We will worship him regardless of the heat. So Father, bless the service. Bless the oncoming service. Bless your servant. Bless the speaker. And Lord, open our hearts, oh Lord, to be happy, grateful, and worship you. Bless everything. Bless the day. We pray and ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.